Morning. Thank you, worship team, for that. That was good. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians. That's where we'll be this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, especially. And we'll be looking at the first 16 verses. This morning's message is titled, Unity in the Body of Christ. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, I'm going to read it and then let's pray. Paul writes this, As a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, and bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. Forgive us, Lord, for our iniquities, and help us, Lord, to believe, to hear your word, and to believe it, and to live in light of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, unity through the bond of peace, Paul says first in verse 3 there. Keeping the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And this bond of peace comes through God, because God made peace with us first through his blood shed on the cross. As Ephesians 1 to 3 we'll state all this. For example, Ephesians 1 says here, in God, in him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit in guaranteeing our inheritance until redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So, I heard a sermon earlier this week by Alistair Begg, and he rambled on a bit of Ephesians. I'm going to say the same thing he did now. He said this, you were not born into Christ, you were not baptized into Christ, but rather you were adopted. You heard the word of your salvation, and you believed it. And so, because of our faith in God, because God made peace with himself, with us, because we were his enemies, through the gospel, through himself. Therefore, we should also have peace with each other, seeking unity through the bond of peace, through the Spirit. And again, in chapter 2, for God himself is our peace. Verse 14, he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. If he himself is our peace, then surely we should also have peace with each other. If God has made peace with us, with fallen humanity, who are his enemies, his rebels, who once did not have a family, who did not belong, and now we do belong to God because of what he has done. And in chapter 4 here, it says here, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And therefore, we who are born again into the family of God should also seek to keep peace amongst ourselves. Because it is not only here in Saskatoon that is the body. It is also the body found throughout Saskatchewan, throughout Canada, throughout Germany, throughout the United States, Iran, Iraq, Philippines, wherever Christians are found. We are part of the global body of Jesus Christ. We are one huge family. As Paul says in chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. All over the earth, wherever we are found, we are part of the body. We are not exclusive. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord wherever we are found. Verse 2 from the church's One Foundation, the old hymn, says this, elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. We are one family. As Paul says earlier in chapter 2, God made the Jew and the Gentile one man with himself. And therefore, there is no nationality, there is no gender, male or female or eunuch, that is to be excluded from the body of Christ. We should not say to each other, he's from China, I cannot associate with him. No. Christ died for that man or that woman just as much as he shed his blood for you. We share that same hope in verses 4 to 6 in Ephesians 4. We share the same hope as they do. The one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God and Father. We share it. My second point this morning is that God gives the unity and the growth. And since God has made peace with us, we should also seek to keep peace with each other. But it is also God, because of what he has done, who has given us that unity, the one Spirit. And so, God also not only made peace with us, but he also gave gifts for the service of God's people, wherever they are found. In verses 7 to 13, Paul writes here, chapter 4, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." So, Paul is quoting Psalm 68. So, turn there. Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and I'm going to start in verse 15. I'm going to back it up. "Majestic are the mountains of Bashan. Rugged are the mountains of Bashan. Why gaze in envy, O rugged mountains, to the mountain where God himself will dwell, where the Lord will abide forever?" "The chariots of God are thousands, are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands, the Lord from Sinai into his sanctuary. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." Even from your enemies, that the Lord God might dwell among them. "Praise be to the Lord our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." In Jesus' death and resurrection, he won a great victory over sin, death, and hell, and Satan. And because God won this huge victory, as any proper conquering king, he took captives and he gave gifts to his people for the purpose of spreading his news that he has done it, that he has won and conquered enemies that no human being could ever conquer. And so some people, and in some gifts he gave to some people, which some people might see as better, but it's still only a gift. And what is the purpose of these gifts? There are three here. And it is these gifts, these evangelists, these teachers, these pastors, and other people there he lists. There are three purposes for them. Verse 12 here, "To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God." This unity that I'm talking about is not unity for the sake of unity, not simply say, we have this disagreement, we have to just roll over and agree with each other, not necessarily. But unity in the truth, unity in the gospel, and is for this purpose of truth and the gospel, that God has given some people these gifts and others the spiritual gifts that they have. But it is all for the purpose to bring glory to himself and to unify his church. And you might be asking, okay, so how does this work? Well, let's look at two biblical examples in the book of Acts. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 11, for the first one. Chapter 11 in the book of Acts. There is at this point, persecution has hit the church, and people were scattered, and some started going to the Greek church in Antioch, or to the Greeks in Antioch, and God is with them there. And so news of this, hits the church in Jerusalem, and they send Barnabas, who goes to find Saul of Tarsus, also called Paul, same person. And Barnabas and Saul go to Antioch, and they stay there for a whole year. Verse 26. Verse 27, watch this. And during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This Agabus stands up in a meeting and says, there's going to be a severe famine. And the brothers rally together and say, hey, we should help out. So what is he doing? He is preparing God's people for service for the purpose of building up the body with the goal of being of unity in the truth, acting himself out in love. One more example, Acts 18. Acts 18. One of my favorite guys in the New Testament, Apollos. Apollos is verse 24 of chapter 18 in the book of Acts. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained the way we got to him more adequately. And when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was of great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Here again, this Apollos guy is a learned man in the scriptures, and he is of great help to those who by grace had believed. For with his knowledge and with his wisdom, he helps the church, building up the body and helping to further unify them in the knowledge of the Son of God. One more, and this is not found in your Bibles because it's a modern man who just recently passed away, Billy Graham. He was an evangelist, did hundreds of crusades, and every crusade, Christians, irregardless other denomination, came together to help other people hear the word of the Lord and to be converted. And he did these three things, although he may not have known it at the time. He prepared God's people for works of service with the goal of building up the body, unifying them in the truth and knowledge of the Son of God. That's what these gifts mentioned here in Ephesians 4 are about. But that's not all of them. There are many more gifts listed: mercy, hospitality, administration, giving, I could go on and on. But this is not unity for the sake of unity, but unity in the truth. And it is God who gives that unity, who gives us these gifts as he sees fit to give them. And with this goal of being maturity in the fullness of Christ, it says here in verse 14, then we will not be infants, tossed back here and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine, and every cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It is God who is the head. It is God who gives the growth. And it is also people working together in the cause of the gospel. So that, as Philippians 1:27 states, that we, standing firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the gospel. Every part doing its work. As he says here, from God, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every believer, every church, doing its part for this gospel, the good news of our salvation. So unity is not just the elder's job. It is not just the pastor's job. It is every single person's job. Doing its part as God intended. I urge you then to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is only one body and one Spirit. Are we doing our part? Or are we sitting there thinking, oh, that's somebody else's job? That's not mine. I'm not gifted. Oh, but you are. If you are a believer in Christ this morning, you are gifted in some way. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this church. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us be this part of your body here in Saskatoon. Help us, Lord, to go out into our workplaces, into our homes, wherever man is found, and tell the blessed news, whosoever will may come. In Jesus' name, amen.